and sending a very strong message to Israel that they are standing with the Palestinians in Sheikh Jarrah and with Al-Quds, of course. This was rather unprecedented, and I think that this is a powerful message to their occupiers that the game has changed. They can no longer kill wantonly and displace Palestinians wantonly. They will pay a price.
Well, I want to thank you very much, Eva Bartlett, independent journalist who had a very immense and deep experience of the occupation and the genocide inside of Gaza, for joining us to talk about the Israeli war crimes against the people of Palestine. Thank you very much for being with us, Eva.
Thank you.
Please do stay tuned next week for more from the Middle East Stream.
The Limelight.
Mohammed Taufiq Abdul Hadi, who lived with schizophrenia and was often found wandering in confusion through his Gaza neighborhood, was shot dead by Israeli regime forces near the border fence, says Heb Jamal, journalist, in an article titled, "Israeli Regime Kills Palestinians with Mental Illness Through Impunity." Stay tuned for more. On May 30, it will be 1 year since Israeli regime border police killed Iyad al-Halak, an autistic Palestinian man. The police claimed that Halak had an object that looked like a pistol and ran away when ordered to stop. Halak was unarmed. Halak attended and worked at a special needs facility in Al-Quds Old City, meters from where he was shot. Israeli regime police started chasing him after they suspected he was a terrorist because he was wearing gloves. While Halak was trying to hide behind a large rubbish bin, fearing for his life, Israeli regime police shot and killed him. The killing of Palestinians with mental illness is not unusual for the fake regime of Israel. After the recent 11-day Israeli regime assault on Gaza, which killed at least 248 Palestinians, including 66 children and 39 women, and injured hundreds more, Palestinians have held their breath while searching for the missing. One of the victims, Mohammed Taufiq Abdul Hadi. He was found dead in an open area east of Gaza City near the border fence. Mohammed was not killed by an airstrike or the impact of a bomb. He was shot by Israeli regime troops in cold blood. Mohammed lived with various conditions, including schizophrenia and depression. When on medication, he was alert and available to his family and only son. Without his medication, though, Mohammed was often confused, known to wander through his neighborhood of Khan Yunis, although his family always eventually found him. When eyewitnesses saw Mohammed, a young man, walking towards the demarcation line and killed by an Israeli regime sniper, it was too dangerous to retrieve his body. No one could alert his family, and his body lay there for more than a week, all because he could not access his medications. Mohammed developed his conditions later in life when he was studying engineering in Germany. Although he had a bright future, social isolation and the troubles being an immigrant forced him to return to his home in Gaza. The indiscriminate killing of Palestinians, particularly in Gaza, does not even spare traumatized children. 11 of the children killed in Gaza this month were receiving trauma counseling to help them deal with life in a state of continuous war. More than two-thirds of children in Gaza experience psychological distress as the mental health crisis in the besieged enclave continues to grow. In one example, 22-year-old Fatih Harb went to a great march of return protest in 2018, counting on the indiscriminate killing of Israeli regime snipers to fatally shoot him. He was, it seems, trying to bring about his own death. When he was not killed by snipers, he set himself on fire on a busy street in Gaza City. The conditions of Gaza military siege and Israeli regime assaults every few years have exacerbated the territory's mental health crisis. The Gaza Community Mental Health Program has reported growing numbers of cases of anxiety, depression, and suicide. Beyond Gaza, this past February, the Zionist regime police killed Munir Anabtawi, a Palestinian man with mental illness in Haifa. Anabtawi reportedly had a psychotic episode after an argument with his mother, who tried to call an ambulance but accidentally dialed the police, whose arrival led to her son's death. The police officer said he acted out of genuine concern for his life. "Why five bullets? Fine, give him one. He's down. But one, and another, and another, and another. They neutralized him," the victim's brother told Channel 12 in March, accusing the Zionist regime police of having assassinated Anabtawi. The officer involved was cleared of wrongdoing by the Zionist regime's justice ministry earlier this month. The Zionist regime army on Twitter deemed its latest assault on Gaza to have been a success. That number presumably includes Palestinians who are vulnerable or who have mental health conditions, such as Mohammed Abdul Hadi. The fake regime of Israel can kill those with mental illness with impunity. May you rest in peace, Mohammed, along with every other Palestinian with mental illness who has been victimized by the Zionist regime's brutal military occupation.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Muhammad Mahmoud Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. Salamun alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, welcome once again to yet another episode of The Bridge, a program in which we try to discuss the different supplications of Imam Zainul Abideen, supplications that have come in the form of a prayer manual known as As-Sahifatul Sajjadiyya. We have been discussing the seventh supplication of Imam Zainul Abideen alayhi salam, and that is his supplication during incidents of sorrow, painful occasions, and intense grief. We were in verse number 4, where Imam Zainul Abideen alayhi salam actually teaches us how to express the difficulties that we have, but in a monotheistic expression. And Imam says, "You alone are called upon for affairs of difficulty, and you alone are the refuge in painful occasions. None except that which you avert is averted, and none save that which you remove is removed." So the gist of this is actually the expression of Tawheed. But what is important here is that when we say that you alone are the refuge in sorrowful occasions or painful occasions, the most important thing, brothers and sisters in Islam, is that we should develop that belief. Even if we have developed a belief through conceptual knowledge, because conceptual knowledge also reaps belief. When you have proper reasoning according to the standards of reasoning, and you come to the conclusion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's being, that Allah exists, and that Allah is infinite in existence, and that Allah has power over all the creation, and that every moment it is He who is controlling the universe, and ontologically everything is submissive to Him. These are expressions that should not be mere vocalizations and expressions. They should have reached your heart, and you believe in it, and then you converse with Allah and you mean it. Oh Allah, you are the refuge in sorrowful occasions. You are the one to be called for ultimately. Even if somebody refers to other people, it is you who are actually giving the power and giving the support and so on.
To salvation, a way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatul Sajjadiyyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana, Rabbana.
Now, sometimes we just vocalize, sometimes we are even oblivious of what we are saying. We are told, okay, this is a supplication. If you recite this supplication, your needs will be fulfilled. You will come from the state of problems. And we recite it without even knowing the meaning, because it is in Arabic. Sometimes we understand Arabic, or we look at the meanings properly and then address Allah and believe in it, that is a very different situation. Because in that situation, you have a real connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what is important, brothers and sisters. Also, what is more important is the level that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam has, and even this level or a level similar to that is open for every human being. And that is through spiritual exercises as dictated by the Sharia and by the guides of the Islamic religion. A person can attain spiritual upliftment. When a person attains spiritual upliftment, then he can vision, a time comes that he can vision the reality. And therefore, when he says, Antal Mafza, you are the one who is the refuge, he sees it. There is no shak, there is no doubt that creeps in his heart. It is also not conceptualizing, because in conceptualizing or in the belief that comes from the concept, we believe in it 100% that this is the situation, but we don't see Allah through the heart. We don't actually vision the reality. But what is important, and I've been stressing this now and again, that the dua that is recited by great people like Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is quite different than the du'as that we recite. Some of us don't also have belief and we recite. Some of us have belief but we don't have any proof, because we have not gone through the different proof. But we do have belief. This is one of the great, we can say, ni'am and blessings of God, that we have a group of believers who have strong belief, yet they did not go through reasoning at all. They didn't go through the path of reasoning, but they are sure of all the true beliefs that a person through reasoning has come to know, and even through the vision of the heart has come to know. Such people are there because of the purity of what they have eaten from birth, because of the way they have been brought up by their parents, because of not having sinned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them a kind of ma'rifah, a kind of knowledge that doesn't have any kind of doubt whatsoever. So we have such people. But then it is important for those people who have not attained knowledge to attain knowledge first through reasoning, and slowly and gradually to come to that level whereby they can vision the reality.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
So here, when we say antal mafza'u fil muhimmat, in terms of in circumstances of distress and in circumstances of sorrow, you are the refuge. When we say that and we vision it and believe in it, it is quite different, brothers and sisters, from just vocalization without even knowing the meaning, or even if we know the meaning but we don't have that belief. So this is an important thing that we must realize, and this doesn't only concern this verse, it concerns all other verses. This is the second phrase that we have been stressing upon. And then Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam says, لَا يَنْدَفِعُ مِنْهَا إِلَّا مَا دَفَعْتَ, none save that which you avert is averted, right? وَلَا يَنْكَشِفُ مِنْهَا إِلَّا مَا كَشَفْتَ. So ultimately you are saying, oh Allah, you are the one to do it. So even when you don't do it, a person at the back of his mind should also have this, that, oh Allah, do it for me because it is very difficult. But then even if you don't do it, whatever you do, you are doing good because you know what is supposed to be done. But then we have to obviously ask the relief from the problems that we have, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to supplicate to Him so that our supplications and our needs are fulfilled. Inshallah, we'll continue with our discussion in our next session. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin.
That was the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواد از کف دهن عشق و تولای تو را
Food for thought.
Salam. And today, on the 57th anniversary of historic 15th of Khordad uprising, launched by the father of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, to rid Iran of domestic despotism and foreign hegemony, here is a prophecy from the Prophet's seventh infallible heir, Imam Musa Kazem, peace upon him, that some believe is a pointer to the events in Iran. A man from Qom will rise and invite people towards truth. Around him will gather people like slabs of iron, who will not be shaken by strong winds and storms, and will neither get tired of war, nor will they back down, and they have trust in Allah. The outcome is for the pious. This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily around the clock for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz, every day from 15:20 to 16:20 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 19:20 to 20:20 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
A science professor has released spectacular drone footage of
lava streaming from an Icelandic volcano. Sørensen Johnson flew a drone over the volcano 2 months after it started erupting. He captured close-up shots of lava bubbling in its crater in the southwest of Iceland's capital. The volcanologists say that they have no idea how long this eruption will continue, adding that magma could flow for years. Iceland is home to dozens of active volcanoes. Volcanic landscapes have turned into a tourist attraction in the Scandinavian country. Two Russian cosmonauts have conducted spacewalk outside the International Space Station to prepare an old docking module for disposal. The duo spent more than 7 hours outside the ISS to wrap up preparations for the eventual disposal of the Pris docking compartment. According to NASA officials, the Russian cargo freighter will remove the two-decade-old module from the orbiting laboratory later this summer. Both the cargo ship and a press will burn up in the atmosphere above the Pacific Ocean. The orbiting press will clear the way for the arrival of a new Russian multipurpose laboratory module named Nuka, meaning science in Russian. Nuka is scheduled to launch on July the 15th this year. Wednesday's operation was the sixth spacewalk in 2021 in support of the Space Station Assembly, maintenance, and upgrades.
A rare albino baby elephant that was rescued from poachers in South Africa has found a new home with a welcoming herd. The calf, named Han Yi Sa, was caught in a snare in the Kruger National Park when she was only 4 months old. She suffered several nasty wounds, including one to her mouth. Han Yi Sa remained trapped in the snare for 4 days before being rescued and taken to a shelter especially built for elephants northeast of Johannesburg. All the other elephants there are orphans too.
Each female that we had has a baby. So except for them, all of the others are orphaned. And I think that is part of the reason why they accept these orphans, because they know how it feels, you know, and they become actually, you know, the mother figures for them.
The calf has learned to adapt to the new life. She lies under the shadow cast by bigger elephants to protect herself from getting sunburned. The shelter says if the herd grows too big for the area, she and other elephants will be released into the wild. A Brazilian artist has found a way to reuse plastic bags in a very creative way, making something beautiful out of them. Eduardo Sroa turns recycled shreds of plastic into real pieces of artwork. He picks up the material from city streets and rivers. Without using a drop of paint, Sroa recreates paintings by Picasso, Van Gogh, and other famous artists. He says his goal is to draw attention to plastic pollution.
I present this series as a product that does not have paint, except for what has already been processed into plastic by the industry. It does not have glue. It is a box that was built, and inside I press and condense it. I make an accumulated cluster of plastic bags that ends up creating this image that you see.
Sura's exhibition is due to open in Sao Paulo in the coming months. His previous works were also aimed at raising awareness about the environment. He has created several giant installations in public places, mostly along polluted rivers.
Chinese archaeologists have unearthed a rare 3,000-year-old bronze figure from a site they have been excavating for months in Sichuan province. The 1.5-meter figure, deemed one of China's most famous archaeological discoveries. It consists of two parts. The upper part is 55 centimeters high, with a zoon, a vessel used in ancient times, on top of the head. The lower part is 60 centimeters in size with kneeling posture. Similar findings in the past were just 20 centimeters in their heights. The bronze figure was discovered under massive ivory objects. So far, over 500 objects, including ivory, bronze, gold, and jade ware, have been found from six sacrificial pits of the Sanjiangdu ruins. A Chinese man becomes the first blind Asian mountaineer to successfully scale the world's tallest peak, the Mount Everest. Zhang Hong completed the 8,849-meter high Himalayan feat with three high-altitude guides. The 46-year-old climber said he spent much of his trek holding onto his guide's arm. The pair said the most tiresome and risky areas were the so-called death zones, ice walls, and ice falls at around 8,000 meters. The Chinese climber recalled humbly embracing being part of Mother Nature after he completed his arduous journey.
No matter if you're disabled or normal, whether you have lost your eyesight or you have no legs or hands, it doesn't matter. As long as you have a strong mind, you can always complete anything that other people think you can't.
Zhang added that this is only the beginning. He said his next milestone is climbing the highest peaks from the world's continents known as the Seven Summits. The Chinese mountaineer lost his eyesight at the age of 21. After his success, he became the third visually impaired person to ever step foot on the Everest peak. Russian company has developed a fully self-driving car that looks like it was taken right out of a sci-fi movie. Flip is the size of a conventional passenger car and has enough space for six people. Its creator says the advanced vehicle is a taxi of the future. Flip has fulfilled the requirements of international automated driving standards. It's powered by electricity, but it can also use other fuels like gas and hydrogen. The owners of this futuristic vehicle do not have to worry about running out of power. That's because its replaceable batteries can be changed in less than 5 minutes once they are out of electricity. A rare baby giraffe is born in a zoo in western France as conservationists try to increase the population of this endangered species. The cute Rothschild giraffe is the second born in a French zoo this year. Caretakers say the cubs will stay with the facility for 1 year before they would be sent to another site to start their own families. The Rothschild giraffes are critically endangered, and conservationists say that only 1,600 of them exist now. The general giraffe populations in the wild have also decreased by around 30% in the last three decades.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
For many professional climbers, ascending Mount Everest for even once remains an almost distant dream. However, a Nepali man has achieved that feat not once or twice, but 25 times. Kami Rita Sherpa has arrived back in the capital, Kathmandu, after breaking his own whopping record of 24 ascents to the summit of the world's tallest mountain. The veteran climber hopes that his accomplishment represents a big achievement for his small country. Climbing tall mountains runs in Kami's blood. He belongs to the Sherpa tribe, one of the Tibetan ethnic groups and native to the most mountainous region of Nepal.
iconic Eiffel Tower in Paris has been illuminated for the first time using electricity produced from certified renewable hydrogen. In an amazing show, hydrogen-generated lights were projected onto the tower's frames, displaying various patterns and designs, making viewers ecstatic. It's a dream project of a French company based in the city of Saint-Malo. The company wanted to make the most recognizable landmark a showcase for its carbon-free technology. The objective is to bring more awareness of renewable energy to the public. The nightly event will continue until May the 30th. Countries around the world are investing a lot to develop hydrogen-related technologies. A French musician helps patients in an end-of-life care home to escape from pain by playing the cello for them. Let's have a listen.
Music soothes pain as music eases their symptoms. In palliative care, in end-of-life care, there is sometimes still pain in spite of the morphine, in spite of the drugs that really help manage the pain of the patients. They still feel pain, and music really has a calming power on the residual pain of palliative care patients.
The sound of Claire Oppert's solo cello resonates through the rooms of Jean Garnier end-of-life care home in southern Paris on Fridays. She plays for patients who suffer from physical pain as well as terminal illnesses. The center's staff say music lightens patients' moods and puts them in a calm state.
After Claire leaves the room, we find the patients in a calm state, at times moved, at times happy. A lot happens. There are moments of tears, moments of joy. When we go into the room, we find there is an encounter with the person and his or her story.
I'm in permanent pain. The music helps a little to escape from the pain, I think. You pay attention to the music, and if it's a piece you know, you anticipate the next note. There you go, it's like that.
Claire has been playing the cello for patients in end-of-life care for almost a decade. She says the fact that music makes people feel good has been known since the beginning of humanity, but today it needs to be proven scientifically. Therefore, she has made it her mission to demonstrate the therapeutic effects of music on patients by taking medical studies.
The Russian zoo is delighted to welcome a new resident, a rare snow white wallaby. The cute joey named Elisa was born at Regina Zoo in the southwestern city of Kazan. Zookeepers say she is healthy, playful, and has won the visitors' attention. Interestingly enough, Elisa's brother Alec was born with normal pigmentation. Wallabies are members of the kangaroo family. The albino wallaby, which has no skin pigmentation and pink eyes, is believed to be extremely rare.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners of this episode of today's special, Salamun Alaikum, you're following IRIB English Radio. At the first step, we express our condolences on the demise anniversary of the founder of Islamic Republic of Iran, Imam Khomeini.
Today, Friday, is the 23rd of Shawwal, 1442, of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 14th of Hordad, 1400, of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 4th of June, 2021, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is the demise anniversary of Imam Khomeini, the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran. We offer our condolences on all Muslims all around the world.
قام الإمام قام الإمام
قام الإمام
وقامت برايا وكر الأنام كر الأنام
قام الإمام.
Imam Khomeini dedicated most of his life to resistance against the US-backed Pahlavi dynasty, which finally led to its downfall in the 1979 Islamic Revolution. Grand Ayatollah Sayyid Ruhullah Musavi Khomeini, better known as Ayatollah Khomeini, was born to a family of religious scholars in September 1902 in the central Iranian city of Khomein. His father was murdered when Imam Khomeini was just 5 months old. He began studying the Quran from a young age and was assisted in his religious studies by his relatives, including his older brother. In the pre-revolution era, he spent more than 15 years in exile for his stiff opposition to the last monarch, Muhammad Reza Pahlavi, mostly for his association with Western imperialists. After his return from exile in February 1979, Imam Khomeini led the Iranian Revolution, which saw the end of the 2,500-year-old Persian monarchy. He became the supreme leader of the Islamic Republic in 1979 until he passed away on June 3, 1989, at the age of 87. Our sad feelings and condolences on the commemoration of Imam Khomeini's demise.
Imam Khomeini, the personality that he was, a arif of a high caliber, but this never meant that he had secluded himself from the rest of society. He believed that a arif needs to be in constant engagement with the rest of the society. This you would not rarely see in personalities outside of the personality of Imam Khomeini, rahimahullah. And this is why, when he had written those numerous books, like, for example, Arba'una Hadith, or his commentary on Fusus al-Hikam, or Adabul Salah, or Al-Adab al-Ma'nawiyya lis-Salah, or Misbah al-Hidayah ila al-Khilafati wal-Wilayah, or Hadith Junud al-Aqli wal-Jahl, or his commentary on Dua al-Sabah, and the list could go on, all emphasizing not only on the moral akhlaqi aspects of Islam, but also the deeper spiritual dimensions of Islam as portrayed by Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, preserving that strong level of being engaged with the rest of society. Even though he was a man of high spirituality, he was also someone who was engaging in political discourse. He was someone who stood face to face with diplomats and explained to them how the Iranian country was falling to its plight by the Shah being the Vatan Furush that he was, by him meeting with delegates sent by Qatar who were indirectly threatening him with war, and he how he had explained to them clearly that we are men of war. There is nothing that we are scared of. There are tens and thousands of young youth who have nothing other than love for martyrdom. So what is there that could be someone who could bring about fear in the personality of Imam Khomeini rahimahullah? But at the same time, very similar to how the Imam alayhi wasalam were, he was able to combine all of these different, at sometimes conflicting characteristics into that one being.
Khomeini is the second name of Iran, a man of deep thinking, man of his words. He came and threw away the throne of fear, the man of conquering battles without swords.
Khomeini was the rising sun of Islam, so he came when the darkest night it was. What he brought was not just a revolution, but a blast, yes, a blast of light it was.
Imam Khomeini explained cure for moral maladies. According to Imam Khomeini, the best remedy is to concentrate upon each one of the evil habits that you detect in yourself and offer an effective resistance against them. Imam Khomeini said, "Fight bravely against your carnal self. Act unceasingly all the time against those vicious yearnings. Pray Almighty to assist you in this battle. Undoubtedly, after some time, hideous habits would leave you, and Satan and his legions would vacate the fortress, and the battalions of heavenly armies would be installed in their stead. One of the moral maladies which may destroy one, cause torment of the grave, and plague men in this world, is the maltreatment of people of his household, his neighbors, his colleagues, and others around him. I give you word that if you behave persistently like this, after some time you will realize that your nature is totally transformed, and good habits have taken the place of the bad ones. But if you behave according to the propensities of your nature, it is possible that they consume you in this world itself." Dear brothers and sisters, dear Muslims all around the world, accept our condolences on the demise anniversary of the founder of Islamic Republic of Iran, Imam Khomeini.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Imam Khomeini's political thought. It is an accepted principle that religion and ethics can play a role in prevention of war or establishment of peace. The basic tenets of Imam Khomeini's political thought should be ascertained from his approach to the concepts of religion and politics. He has forwarded his ideas on these two concepts on different occasions and meetings from the very beginning of the Islamic movement in Iran. Imam Khomeini does not construe politics as a science of power or a kind of techniques for exploiting people with a view to make them subordinate to certain rulers. He believes that usually unjust rulers possess such characteristics. Imam Khomeini terms such a politics a satanic politics and believes that it has nothing to do with religion. In one of his speeches after his release from prison, he says, "A man whom I do not want to reveal his name once came to me and said, 'Politics is nothing but telling lie and playing tricks. Hence, it is better for you to leave it to us.' In response, I said that I have never been involved in such a politics."
What do you mean, neither East nor West? You had two superpowers then. The East was the communist bloc, and the West was the capitalist bloc. And both of them had divided the world, just like Winston Churchill would sneeze and divide Africa as he pleases. Like the earth is a playground for them, and we all become its slaves. And this hasn't changed, by the way. But it's empowering to know that in this huge world that is driven by some megalomaniac, what we call plutocrats, who are nothing but greedy, takathur, al-hakum al-takathur, hatta zurtum al-maqabir, and they're dividing the Muawiyah, the Yazid style, and we are its byproducts. We somehow have to make it through middle class. We don't get caught in this vicious machinery. And here's a man who says, "I want freedom too." When George Washington crossed Manhattan while he's being chased by the British Army, we raised our hands and said, "Bravo, bravo that you fought them. It's bravo that you fought the king and you broke the shackles of imperialism." And you wonder, since the world is divided by these two powers, how are we ever going to survive if we don't submit to these hegemony of these leaderships? But here's a man who takes the lesson of Ahlul Bayt. For a person like Imam Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayhi, from young age, to put his footsteps in the direction of Ahlul Bayt. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that you don't need aircrafts that are remotely controlled. Nor do you need super aircrafts that do 4G turns. Nor do you need bunker buster bombs. You need iman, like the way Musa had iman in front of Fir'aun, when he stood in front of Fir'aun with a simple stick and had a very simple garb. And Fir'aun says, "I am golden clad. You are a simple man." And Musa said, "My stick is enough." And he brought the whole empire of Fir'aun down. So what is the lesson for us? The lesson for us, and this is why I admire such leadership, is he put it into practice as a role model for me today, that Islam is not an ideology, it's not a philosophy that is idealistically possible, but it is a reality in my era, and I've seen it. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
That was all for today's special. Thank you very much for being with IRIB English Radio. And again, we offer our condolences on the demise anniversary of Imam Khomeini.
What about you? IRIB English Radio. Thank you.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.